Good morning, Connection Church. How are we doing this morning? Amen. Well, my name is Russ, and I have the amazing privilege of serving on staff here as our discipleship director. Many of you I know, but if I don't, I'd love to get to know you. I was just backstage, and I was just thinking about the words of that song, and I just feel like the Lord placed on my heart that I needed to spend just a quick moment to talk about something, that the Son of Suffering, that Jesus suffered for us. He died on the cross. And if you're here today and you've never heard that, or you're here today and there's this burden in your heart, I hope that as I teach through what the Lord's placed on my heart today, that you begin to gain an understanding of what Jesus actually did on the cross, that Jesus died and he rose again. That's good news, that he rose again and he paid the price for our sins. Jordan said this last week, and I think that it plays into how I feel today. We're going on in this series, the Anointed series, and today I'm going to be talking about what does a Holy Spirit life look like? What does a Holy Spirit-filled life look like? And I feel like the things that I've experienced since following the Lord in the last 10 to 12 years of my life have led me to this point today. That, like Jordan said this last week, that he felt like his sermon last week had been something that had been building up in him for years. And I can feel that in my own spirit. I can feel that God has done something in my life that has led me to today, standing in front of you all. And I was standing over here worshiping. My wife walks in the side door of my two boys, and I was just reminded of God's grace. I was reminded of what he's done in my life, that I have an amazing marriage. I have a wife that loves me, that supports me. I have two boys that adore me. I've been given the blessing to be a father. And man, for me, that for y'all, that may just seem like the normal American life. But for me, that is proof of God's grace. That's proof of God's patience with me. And today, what I'm going to get to talk through is also proof of God's patience for me, his grace and his faithfulness in my life. Jordan asked me this week, he said, what do you think, if we miss the chance of anointing, do we get another chance? If we miss God's anointing at one point in time of our life, do we get another chance? And I said, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody else, but what I can speak for in my life is that God has been very, very patient with me. There are so many times that I can look back, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I can look back and I can see where God was drawing me into something, and because of my desires, because of my ambitions, because of the things that Russ wanted to do, I was not willing to step into that. And God didn't just say, well, there was your one chance at anointing, I'm done. He has pursued me. He has been so gracious and so faithful and so patient with me, and I hope that's encouraging for you here today. If you're here today and you feel like, man, I've just missed it. I had my chance. It's done. I hope that you hear some encouragement that God is gracious. He's patient with you, and he still desires to be in that fellowship with you. We've been looking at the life of Elijah and Elisha over the last few weeks. After Elisha turns the page, right, Jordan talked about turning the page, he becomes a servant of Elijah. He is a servant for around 10 years. I looked that up. I was curious. How long did he have to serve Elijah before he stepped into the role as prophet? He was a servant for around 10 years before Elijah is carried into heaven and Elisha steps into his role as being a prophet. I've been following the Lord for around 12 years, and I've seen so many of the same things that play out in that story that have played out in my life. So today, listen to me. Today I'm talking to each and every one of you. If you can do this with me, if you can picture this, take everybody else out of the auditorium today. I'm talking to you. I want this to be an intimate conversation with each and every one of you. One of my favorite things that I get to do at my job is to sit across from people and just hear about what's going on in their life. I get to encourage them. I get to try to lead and guide and direct them through what Scripture says how their life should look. And I so deeply love to do that. And so today, as I stand up here on stage, I hope that you hear my heart in this as I am talking to each one of you on a personal level. I'm pleading with you. I want what the Lord has done in my life, the things that I've experienced, I want that for you. I want you to experience God in his fullness. I want you to experience the anointing of God in your life. That's what I want for each and every person in this room. If you'll turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, we're going to read a passage of scripture, and then we're going to pray. 2 Kings chapter 2, 11 through 15. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it goes out with an anointing. God, it is alive. God, that it convicts our hearts, it speaks to us. God, that you promise that your word does not return void. And so I just pray over this room this morning, God. I just pray over the hearts of our people, God. I pray for my heart, God. I pray that our eyes would be opened, God, that we would experience you, we would have an encounter with you, we would feel your presence, God. We know that you're here, God. We sang the song, Spirit of God, you're here. We know that, Lord. So would we feel your presence here this morning, God? Would you speak through me, Lord, that it would not be my words, God, it would not be my thoughts, God, but it would be your spirit speaking through me to your people, God, to your children. Lord, and I just pray, God, for conviction. God, I pray for obedience, God, for our body. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was thinking about, right, I was going to talk about what does a Holy Spirit-filled life look like. And I was sitting at my kitchen table, looking out the window, praying, reading through scripture. And I was asking the Lord, how does this relate to these things that Jordan has talked about over the last few weeks? How does a Holy Spirit-filled life relate to something that has happened in the Old Testament? And how am I going to tie this in and help our people gain an understanding of this? And I feel like the Lord led me to this passage. And just to give you some context of what's going on in my heart as the Lord is speaking to me is that Elisha has now served under Elijah. He's seen Elijah do all these things. He's watched him. He's even watched him take his cloak and strike the water and separate the water, right? Elisha has seen Elijah do those things. But guess what? Now it is Elisha's turn, right? Now the role, Elijah is no longer with him. Jordan talked about the four T's of anointing last week. The trial, the transition, the transformation, the turning the page. Elisha has done all of those things. But I would say that now there is a fifth T of anointing. There is a testing of our faith. At this moment, Elisha comes and his faith is now tested, right? Because he's seen God move for Elijah. He's seen God be faithful for Elijah, but now it's his turn. And what does he do? Elisha picks up the cloak. He strikes the water, and he says, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" He trusts that God is going to work in his life just like he's seen him work in Elijah's life. I would ask ourselves today, do we have that same belief? Do we have that same trust that, God, I know you work, and I see you working over there in that person's life. God, I see you working in my coworker's life. God, I see you working in the lives of my family, but are you going to work in mine? Are you going to show up for me? I can just picture Elisha thinking, God, what's going to happen if you don't show up in this moment? It was a testing of his faith. And Elisha steps out in faith, and it says that the spirit of Elijah is now resting on Elisha. See, Elisha experienced God's anointing, and he experienced the spirit of Elijah resting on him. But for us, whenever we live a Holy Spirit-filled life, we experience God's anointing on our lives. The spirit is just different. Now we have the Holy Spirit resting with us. If we are a believer, if we placed our salvation in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within inside of us. When we live by faith and not by sight, we place our trust in Jesus. We place our trust in the Lord alone and not our own ability. The Spirit guides us into our anointing if we will let Him. I want to build on George's message from last week and hopefully add some clarity about how to answer those application questions of what it looks like to live a Holy Spirit-filled life. A Holy Spirit-filled life that leads to God's anointing on our lives. But first, I want to look at who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're here today and you've never really had to deal with that. I had a conversation with somebody this past week and they just said, hey, what's exactly going on with the Holy Spirit? And it reminded me that not everybody has an understanding of what that is. And so what is the Holy Spirit? It's the third part of the Trinity. He is a person. Jordan said this last week. Holy Spirit is a person. He lives inside of us. He is our helper. Scripture says He is our helper. Scripture says He was a gift from God. When do we receive the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 1 says we receive the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. We are now sealed with the Spirit. John 3 says we have been born again by the Spirit. Titus 3 says we are regenerated and renewed by the Spirit. So now we have an understanding of what is the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's our helper. He lives with us. When we place our faith in Jesus, when we come to salvation, we are now given the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. But for what purpose? What reason? He sanctifies us. He helps intercede on our behalf. He gives us wisdom so that we can know and understand God. Right, Scripture says, without God's wisdom, without His Spirit, we can't understand and know God. He helps us walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Our heart begins to change. We don't operate in the same way that we used to once operate. We get the gifts of the Spirit. Now the Spirit is giving us gifts for us to accomplish God's purpose. The gifts are not for our own hey, look at me, look at these things I'm doing. The gifts, 1 Corinthians says the gifts are not for us. They are for the edification of the church and to help us accomplish God's purposes. The Spirit leads and guides our life for the fulfillment of God's design and purpose for our life. The Holy Spirit leads and guides our life for the fulfillment of God's design and purpose for our life. So what does a Holy Spirit-filled life look like? If I can think of one person to point to in Scripture and say, that dude lived a Holy Spirit-filled life, I would look at Paul. If you will, turn to Acts chapter 1 with me. We're going to talk about the Spirit coming, and then we're going to look at Paul's life. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Right, Jesus is taken up into heaven and He's given His disciples one last charge. Starting in verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father has promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around Him and asked Him, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Right? They're missing it already. They're like, yeah, I know all this great stuff happened, but what about the stuff here now? What about our earthly oppression? And He says to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So again, what does a Holy Spirit-filled life look like? I would say the first thing that we can look at and see that somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit is that they have experienced the presence of God. They have experienced the presence of God. In Acts 9, Paul has his moment on the road to Damascus where he encounters Jesus. And guess what? He is forever changed. He goes from Saul to Paul, but dude is not the same. After that moment, he has an encounter, he has an experience with the presence of God, and he's forever changed. Have we been changed? Have we encountered Jesus to the point where it has now changed us and people around us can see like something's different about that person? Right? In Acts 9, it talks about that Paul is now going and preaching boldly, and people are looking and saying, wait a minute, this is the dude that like last week is persecuting Christians, and now he's over here preaching about the risen Messiah. What's going on here? It's because he has had a real encounter with God. He's experienced the presence of God. It has changed him forever. And now all he knows to do is, I have to preach about this Messiah that has changed my life. That's how I feel today. I know who old Russ used to be. I know the ways that I used to live. I know the things that I used to chase after. I know the things that consume me, the desires of my heart. But all I want to do today is just tell people about Jesus. I want to see people's lives change, not because I can say, look at this conversation that Russ had with this person, but no, look at what God's done in their life, the same thing he did in mine. We experience the presence. The second thing that happens is we're filled with power, right? Now we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:22. Says, yet Saul grew more and more powerful, and he baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. He's filled with the power. The Spirit is giving him more and more power to accomplish God's purpose. He's preaching the gospel. What else is he doing? He's healing. He's healing others. He's casting out demons. He raises a man from the dead. Those are not things that Paul can just go about and do on his own power. But he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and now incredible things are beginning to happen in his life. He's getting to see God move in ways that he may have never thought would happen, ways that he can't even comprehend. But he's walking in the Spirit, and he's allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to work through him. He's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that we see in a Holy Spirit-filled life is that we live with a new purpose, right? Our desires have changed. We're not seeking the things of our old self. Acts 16, Paul begins to be led by the Spirit, right? He's going on this journey to preach the gospel, to begin to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Acts 16 says Paul is being led by the Spirit of, Lord, do I go here? Nope, not there. God, do I go here? Yeah, okay, this is where I'm going. God, would you go with me? Would you go before me? I got to experience this when we went on a mission trip a month or so ago, and the missionary that we support in Turkey, we're all riding around in the van, and he's like, hey, we got to start praying for where we're going to go. We got to start praying for the restaurant that we're going to go and have tea so that we can share the gospel with somebody. And my wife, she would hate me telling this story, but she begins to start praying, and she's kind of going in and out of falling asleep, right? We're not getting much sleep. She's tired. But the Lord speaks to her and says, this is who you need to start praying for. And lo and behold, we show up at this restaurant, and there's the girl, right? God leads us to where he wants us to go so that we can have encounters with people, so that we can tell them the good news of Jesus. Our life is no longer about ourselves. Acts 20, 22 through 24 says, and now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Right, our life is no longer about us. When we become a believer, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We've experienced the presence. We've been filled with the power. We live with a new purpose. Our life is no longer about just us. We have the same task to carry the good news of God's grace and the way that we live, and God has placed his anointing on us to be able to do that. The task is the same for us today. Paul says he considers his own life as nothing. He's laid it all down on the altar. Jordan talked last week about Elisha burning his oxen. Paul has laid his life on the altar and said, I don't care about any of it. God, I just want to do what you want me to do. God spoke to me in this week. Everybody in here, right, we just came from Thanksgiving. We just ate a lot of food, probably ate a lot of pies. My mom makes this pie. It's a no-bake cheesecake, and it's one of my favorite pies that she makes. And I cut some small pieces off, and I brought them up here to the church for some of my guys to try, right? I said small pieces, right? The rest of the pie's at the house. But I thought about this. I would consider myself to be generous, but why do I cut the small piece of pie to carry to my friends so that I can keep the rest of my pie to myself? How often do I do that with my life with the Lord? How have we done that with our life to say, Lord, here's your piece of pie, but don't touch the rest of my stuff. Here's your piece of pie that I'm offering on the altar, but don't tell me about my job. Don't tell me how to raise my kids. Don't tell me how to treat my wife. Stay away from my hobbies. Here's your piece of pie. You do with this how you want, but I'm going to handle the rest of this. Paul says, no, it's all of it. He's laid everything down. I consider my life as nothing because of what I've experienced in the anointing and in a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, I'm talking to each and every one of you. I hope that you hear my heart in this. The life of Paul here sounds very familiar to the life Elisha has experienced if you continue to read in 2 Kings. If you read on in 2 Kings, right, Elisha has left his wealth. Jordan talked about that last week. He's burned it. He's burned it at the altar. He's left it. He's fully pursuing this new life. But there are trials that come along. It's not like that's all fun and games after he does that. He faces things that can press on him and say, man, this is tough. But guess what? Elisha also experiences just like Paul and just like our Lord and Savior Jesus experienced on this earth. Elisha experiences the miracle of the woman filling up olive oil jars and paying for her debts. Right? That's something that he experiences firsthand. He experiences the son being brought back to life of the Shunammite. I hope I got that right. But the son dies, and Elisha gets to experience him being brought back to life. He experiences the restoration of a poisonous stew. Right? He throws some bread in it and prays over it, and God miraculously moves and restores this stew. He experiences the feeding of hundreds of men with 20 loaves of bread. He experiences Naaman being healed of his leprosy. See, Elisha is even able, this is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. Elisha is able to discern the plans of the king of Aram. The king sends chariots and horses and a large number of soldiers to surround the city because he's tired of Elisha messing up his plans, and he just says, go surround the city and take care of business. And Elisha and his servant wake up the next morning, and Elisha's servant's freaking out. And he's like, look at all these soldiers. God, look at their army. And Elisha says, Lord, would you open his eyes? And his eyes are open, and he sees God's army surrounding the army of the enemy. God, would you open our eyes this morning so that we can see how you're working? God, we can see your protection in our lives. Would it give us strength? Would it give us faith? See, the text doesn't obviously specify this, but I can't imagine Elisha experiencing all these things and thinking, you know what? Life was better back when I was just plowing a field. Things were better when I was doing them my way. I can't imagine Elisha experiencing God in such a magnitude and going, you know what? That way was better. Part of why I can't resonate with that is because I can't look at my life and think, things were better when I was at the helm, Lord. Things were better when I had control. No, things are much better now. They may not always look like that from the outside, but I promise you from the inside, things are much better now. Just like the spirit of Elijah rested on Elisha, just like the spirit of Elijah rested on Elisha in 2 Kings 2, now the spirit of God rests upon us. That's amazing. The Spirit of God rests upon us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells within us. That should change us. Jordan said this last week. I want to repeat it. Whenever we do things on our own power, with our own ability, we get our own results. When Russ does things in his own power on my own ability, I get Russ results, and they ain't always great. Most of the time, they're pretty crappy. When we do things with God's power, with the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, through God's ability, we get God-sized results. I was talking to a good friend of mine this weekend, and we had been to a football game, and we were just talking about, man, do we want to live a safe life? Do we want to live a life that has never been about us taking risks for the kingdom? Do we want to live a life that's never about us stepping in faith? Do we want to live a life that we live in a way that we never have get to experience that God had to show up in our life? We never stepped out in faith and said, God, if you don't move, I don't know what's going to happen. Or do we just want to live a comfortable life on our own ability and get our own results? I talked about the mission trip in Turkey. The missionary that we support over there, man, from an American viewpoint, from an American standard, this dude lives a pretty miserable life. He's lived in poverty his whole life. Doesn't really have much going on. He eats two meals a day, water, vegetables. You know, just from what we would consider American standards, he doesn't have a whole lot going on. But to hear the stories of how he's seen God show up and heal people, to see people's lives change, to see people hear the gospel and get saved, to see the joy that he has for the people of Turkey, I would say that he's lived a much more full life than most anybody I know in America. That's the life that I want to live. I want to look back on my life and say, God, maybe things didn't go the way I wanted them to, but man, you showed up and I got to experience you in ways that I never imagined. God, would you continue to work in my life so that I can experience you in a real way? I want to share with you how I've experienced the Holy Spirit and how I've experienced God's anointing on my life. I want to share with you some of the things that I've gone through that's got me to this stage here today. Right, Jordan taught last week about the four T's of anointing, the trials. I lost my very first job I had out of college. Case and I had just bought our first house, and I lose my job, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. At the same time, my dad is in the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, dying from cancer. I have to call my mom, I have to call Casey and say, hey, I don't have a job. I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. I still don't know how we made ends meet, but God was faithful in that. He provided in ways that I can't even tell you because I don't know, but he did. This led me to kind of a mundane life of just work. God, I guess I'm just going to go to work and make money so that I can provide, right? That experience created something in me of like, I have to be the provider for my family. So I'm just going to go and I'm going to make the most money I can and we'll figure it out along the way, right? I'm now eliminating God out of my plans. The transition period. I'm working a great job. I'm living the American dream. I'm making the money. I have a nice truck, I have nice things, but something's missing. I'm still in this mundane of like, there's got to be something more to this. There's got to be something more fulfilling than just going to work day after day and making money. Right? I began to lead connect groups. The transformation begins to happen. God begins to change my heart. Not Russ grits his teeth and says, I can fix things. God begins to change my heart. God begins to take away things out of my life that were pulling me from him, that were pulling me from my family. I'm a passionate, passionate hunter. I love it. But I had allowed hunting, specifically bow hunting, to become an idol in my life. I was gone from my house. Any opportunity I could, I was in the woods hunting. Saturday mornings, I wasn't home. Saturday afternoons, I wasn't home. Sunday mornings before church, I wasn't home because I was doing what Russ wanted to do. God took that away from me. And if you're here today and you're thinking, man, that sounds harsh, I'm telling you, it was a blessing. I'm telling you, it was a blessing that God began to change the desires of my heart and the passions that I once had, the hobbies that I once had, they no longer consumed me. What consumed me was being the father that I was supposed to be and being the husband that I was supposed to be. And to give my life to the Lord and say, here it is, you do with it as you please. That's what consumed me. Last summer, the page began to turn. Right, I'm still using that language. The page began to turn. And I remember thinking, God, what is it? Something's coming. I don't know what it is. I'm in this transition, and you're doing something in my life, and I'm trying to discern what it is. I'm studying your word. I'm praying. He said, you're going to go into ministry. You're going to go into vocational ministry. And earlier I said that I just can't believe that when you miss your anointing, that's the only chance that God has been patient with me. Is because I cannot tell you how many Sundays I've sat right over here, right pretty close to where my buddy Matt McBride's sitting right now. I've sat in that chair and I've had the thought and I've felt the Spirit push and say, this is what you're gonna do one day. And I'd say, no, not me. I could never do that. I'd have people that were mentors in my life speaking in my life and say, hey man, I really think you should pray about the Lord, you know, sending you into vocational ministry. No, not me. That's for somebody else. I can't do that. I gotta make a lot of money and I gotta have these things that I wanna chase after. But God finally brought me to my knees. He took away the desires of my heart, gave me new desires. He showed me through a season of depression and anxiety that no amount of money can bring the joy that you're seeking. And I went to Brandon, I went to Jordan and said, hey, I need y'all to pray for me. I really feel like the Lord is leading me into vocational ministry. I don't even know what that means. This sounds crazy, but this is what I feel like the Lord's telling me to do. So I began to pray about it. They began to pray about it. We had conversations about it. I talked to another mentor of mine named Michael Page. He's the pastor at Connection Church Rincon. He's the one that had told me for 10 years, man, you're going to go into ministry. So I pick up the phone and call him. I know what his answer is going to be. It's about time. I've been trying to tell you that forever. He offers me a job to come work on staff at Connection Church Rincon. Bingo, there's the answer, right? I'm like, this is it. God, you're leading me to this. You've placed this on my heart. Here's my job opportunity. It's with the person who has mentored me and has meant so much to me in my life. And again, my lovely wife, she says, I don't know if it's that easy. We need to pray about this. I'm like, pray about what? There it is. It's plain and clear. So I start praying about it. Lord, is this where you're leading me? Is this the door that you have opened? And a good friend of mine who had no idea any of this was going on in my spirit, had no idea. I mean, he knew nothing about it. One night about 12:30, he sends me a text and he says, man, I don't know what it is. I've never had this happen before. But I just cannot shake this. The Lord needs me to tell you that you need to stay where you are currently at. And I'm like, what is going on, God? What do you mean I need to stay where I'm at? You just told me that this was what I was supposed to do. Here's the open door. I don't understand. So I turned the job down and I said, man, I'm just having to trust God. I'm having to trust the Lord in this. I don't understand, but I know very clearly what he's told me to do. I had no idea at that point in time that the job opportunity at Connection Church Statesboro was going to be open. I had no idea that what the Lord was working in my future was happening. I couldn't see it, right? A lot of times I want to live by sight and not by faith, and in that moment I couldn't see it, but I had to choose to live by faith. And so I come on staff. Now enter the moment of for Case and I is the testing of our faith, right? Coming on staff here at Connection Church was a very significant decrease in pay for us. We had built this fancy, nice house that was going to, again, old desires, was going to be this dream home. God, we're going to have so much fulfillment in this dream home that we've built. When all this transformation and stuff begins to happen in my spirit, I remember sitting out in our backyard. It was a September day. I don't remember the date, but I remember the Lord spoke to me and said, how much fulfillment is this home? Are you willing to give this home up for what I'm calling you to do? And I said, yeah, I am, because I know that you've changed the desires of my heart. See, I want to help you guys. We have a few more minutes. I just want to help y'all understand and hopefully add some clarity to how I filled in these blanks, right? Jordan gave you this challenge last week to fill in these blanks, and I want to help you understand how I filled in the blanks, and then I watched God change the blanks right before my very eyes. I'm a disciple that makes disciples by working at Preferred Collision Center and leading a connect group. Will this require faith? Not really. Maybe a little bit to lead a connect group, but I'm pretty personable and relational, so I can do that. Is this for God? Again, maybe the connect group, but the job is let's make some money so that I can have the things I want to have, so I can do the things I want to do. Does this honor my experiences and development to this point? I would say probably so. Has this been brought to life in Scripture during my time with God? I felt like this was a blessing from the Lord for me to go to Preferred Collision Center, but it wasn't me spending deep time and saying, God, would you lead me and guide me and direct me to the path that you have for me? Is this bigger than me? No, not really. Am I excited to endure the challenges that this would bring? I would tell you no, because when the challenges came, I was just looking for something else. Things got tough, and I'm just like, there's something more. But instead of looking for the next worldly thing, I said, God, what are you doing inside of me that I just can't seem to find fulfillment in life? Here's what God changed the blanks to. I'm a disciple that makes disciples by doing church work, dreaming about kingdom advancement through discipleship and teaching the word. Will this require faith? Absolutely, because I'm terrified every time I stand on this stage and preach the word. Is this for God? Yes. I want to see his kingdom go forward. I want to see his name made great. I want to see him glorified in all the earth. Does this honor my experiences and development to this point? Yes, I can look back and see on the last 10 years of my life how God has been so faithful, so patient, and so gracious to me, and how he has raised me up to be where I am today. Has this been brought to light in Scripture during my time with God? Yes. Is this bigger than me? Absolutely. This is the mission that God gave us in his word. And am I excited to endure the challenges that this would bring? I would tell you that all the challenges that have taken place since I came on staff here at the church have brought me more joy to endure those challenges than I ever did to feel like I had things going well on my own ability. Right? Case and I are very financially strapped at the moment. That is the testing of our faith at the moment. Things are tough. But I would not trade any of the financial security. I would not trade any of my old desires, my old hobbies, my old passions for the anointing that God has placed on my life. My marriage is as good as it's ever been. That's not because of me. That's because of the Lord. My relationship with my two sons is as good as it's ever been. Case and I got to go on a mission trip together this year and experience God move in some incredible ways. I never would have been able to do that in my old job. I've been given the opportunity to stand on stages like this 10 times this year and preach the word. That may not seem like a lot to most of y'all, but to me, that's a huge deal. I could have never imagined that taking place. Right, I've seen God pour out his anointing in so many areas of my life. Our relationship, Case and I's relationship with our families has never been better. None of those things are stuff that you can just measure on paper, but they mean so much to me because to me that is God's faithfulness. To me, that is the experiencing God in a real way, because these are things that I prayed for so long that I began to wonder, God, are you ever going to answer these prayers? And he's showing up time after time after time. This past year, I got to baptize one of my best friends, two of my best friends. So if you're sitting in here today and you fall into any of those categories, maybe you're going through the trial, maybe you're in the transition, maybe you're experiencing the transformation, maybe you've realized all this and you're trying to turn the page, or maybe you're sitting in here and you're going, man, I feel the same way you do, but gosh, it's hard. God's testing my faith. I just want to encourage you to press in. Press on. Stand firm in the Lord. Rely on the Holy Spirit to work in and through you. Do not try to do it on your own power. As we wrap up today, I want to leave you with these thoughts. Maybe today, none of this makes sense, right? 1 Corinthians says that if we don't have the Spirit, that we look at these things and it's foolishness. Maybe none of this makes sense today, but you're like, hey, that's appealing. I want to have this relationship that you're talking about. I want the Spirit to live inside of me. I want to feel this joy and fulfillment. Scripture says all you have to do is repent. All you have to do is turn from your sins and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and you can come into relationship with him. And so today I want to give y'all the opportunity to do that. The prayer team, they can come up. But if today, if you're in this room today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus, you know today you're sitting in your seat and you know I don't have the Holy Spirit because I've never placed my faith in Jesus and I don't have the relationship that you're talking about. And you want that today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to be very bold and raise your hand. Amen. Well, here's my three take-home questions. I want you to sit with these. If you need to come down for prayer over these things in your life, but this is my challenge today as we leave here. Are you being led by the Spirit? Or are you being led by your own ambition? Are you being led by the Spirit? Or are you being led by your own ambition? Are you living in a manner that relies on the power of the Holy Spirit or on your own power? Are you living in a manner that relies on the power of the Holy Spirit or on your own power? And number three, is your life fulfilling God's purpose or your preference? Is your life fulfilling God's purpose or your preference? Church, I want us to wrestle with those things. I told you at the very beginning of this message that this is a conversation between you and I. This is personal. This is intimate. I don't say these things. I don't stand up here. I struggled with standing up here and sharing this stuff with you because I don't want anybody in this audience to look at me and think that I have it going on. I share these things with you because I want this for you. I want God to move in your life like he's moved in mine. I want you to experience the freedom and the joy and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't want you to be bound up by the things of this world. I want us to live unified as a body of believers, chasing kingdom advancement, taking the mission out, sharing the gospel, seeing lives changed, seeing people healed, seeing people set free. That's what I desire. Again, the altar will be open. If you need prayer, our prayer team's down here. I'm going to pray for us and we can be dismissed. God, thank you for today. God, I thank you for this word that you placed in my heart. Lord, I just pray that whoever is here today that needed to hear that, God, would it just pierce their heart? God, would it soften their heart? God, would it convict them? Lord, that you would just move in our lives. God, that you would give us more of your Spirit. God, that you would pour out more of your anointing on the lives of these people. God, on your people, your children. God, would you just move in a mighty way? God, would you help us, God, to be aware of the things that we have made idols in our life, Lord, so that we can lay them down, God, that so we can live open-handed, God, so we can live obedient to your calling, Lord. God, I thank you for what you've done in my life. God, I thank you for your patience and your grace for me. God, I pray that each and every one of us would get to experience that, God, that we would realize the patience that you've had for us, God, that we would feel your presence, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. I hope y'all have a great week.